I think that takes care of our announcements. You know, over the past few months, my wife and I have been taking walks in the evening, and it's been really nice just getting outdoors, especially with COVID and all the restrictions there. But while we're out for our walk, I've noticed this one family that in the morning and evening, they get out with a family of five. They have three little children. I don't even know what the smallest one is. It's in a stroller, and they're usually on the other side of the road. Or we're walking in the street, because in our subdivision, it's very, very open and friendly and hardly any traffic. So this family is wonderful to watch, though. The two little girls, probably one's five and the other one's three, they're on their little bikes with the training wheels. They're in their little dresses. Their hair's all done up. And, you know, and it can be in the morning or in the evening, as I said. But they're so friendly. They'll wave to you, and they're talking, they're laughing. One parent's pushing a stroller. The other one's got the family dog. And they're just out together having a good time. And it's wonderful to watch that, because today we know families don't always take the time to do that, to be together, especially this family, which does it morning and night. And I'm sure it kind of burns off some energy for the kids and lets the family just get outdoors and stretch their legs. And I just think about God's purpose for us. And that one day he wants us to join his family. He wants us to be close. He wants us to get along. He wants us to be unified. And he's asking for an eternal relationship with us, one that'll have joy and peace and happiness. That's what we're looking forward to. And this family sort of reminds me of that. Let's begin today in Galatians 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 26, we'll read a few verses here. And brethren, we have to consider that we are counted as God's children now. If we're willing to be led by his Spirit, if we're willing to live by faith as he commands us, and if we continue to overcome, there are steps we need to take, but God is willing to count us as his children. Let's notice here what Paul wrote to the Galatian church, and therefore to us today, as members of his church. Galatians 3 and verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful statement, knowing that it refers to each one of us, that we have the opportunity to join that family. Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So notice the unity that is mentioned there and how important that is for us to think about. Verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we recognize the promises that God has given to us and how they apply to each and every human being, but each in his own order as God calls them. And just as a relationship with a physical family, God is working with us to recognize the importance of a spiritual family. He's wanting us to see that and understand as we raise our children, as we work with our mates, that there's this relationship that can be built. And God is bringing us to a higher level and preparing us for his spiritual family. So there are changes that are needed in how we think and how we live. And we have to consider the example of Jesus Christ and that God is offering us his Spirit, the very power and mind of God to dwell in us, to transform us, to change us, to be different than we naturally are. We know that we have much to improve in, how we interact with each other, how we speak to one another, whether we encourage people, uplift them, whether we show love. There's so many things that we need to grow in. And we're told here in Galatians of our potential to become the children of God. And it's not according to our gender, our race, what country we were from, or how rich we are, how educated we are, but it's a gift from God that he's willing to invite all of us into his family and to have that for eternity. A word that really is hard to grasp, something that goes on and on and on throughout the millennia, to be able to be a part of God's family. My title today is The Body of Christ and You, because we all play a part in this body, in the body of believers, and it's important for us to think about that. My focus today is to remind us of the significance of what we've been called into. Do we stop to reflect on that? How great it is to not only have this physical life, but to be knowing that we're preparing for a spirit life. And not only that, but in the family of God, in a perfect realm with laws that are holy and righteous and good. We've been called into a church, a body of believers, that is led by God. How wonderful that is to know that there is direction, there is purpose in our lives, and many in the world are living in darkness and don't see that direction at this point. So God is asking us to open our eyes and notice His viewpoint, how we're to live, how we're to think in moving forward. Turn with me next to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. Here, Paul writes to Titus and explains a little more of what happens when we choose to be baptized. He says in verse 5 of Titus 3, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Look at how important that is, to have what God offers us renewed day by day. It's not a one-time, oh, I have God's Spirit, it'll be with me forever. No, we have to work at that, we have to ask for that. Verse 6, "which He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." So any good we do, as it says here, won't save us. You know, we can do something over here, we think, oh, that's great, and something over here, but God says, no, your own actions aren't what save you. It's His love, it's His grace, it's His mercy, and the opportunity that we have to be cleansed after we make mistakes, to be washed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ has a role to play, but our Father is the one who begets us with the word of truth. Now, back in the first century, the Corinthian brethren were divided on many issues. And we read that in the scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 as we talk a little more about the importance of the body of Christ and our part in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. The reason I bring this up is that it's easy for people to be at odds with one another. I mean, if you look back at the history of man and how much fighting, warring, struggling, even within families or between nations, it's easy for us to want our own way and to oppose others when they don't want that. So we have to think about that and consider what we're reminded of as Christians. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So we have to start off with that premise, that this invitation is by God. It's very special. But verse 10 tells us how we're to look at this. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." And if it said no more than that, that should wake us up to realize that it's important as followers of Christ to not be going different directions in our life, which the world does. But here we're told to speak the same thing, and it goes on to add, "and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So each one of these statements here adds to the other. So it's not just that we speak the same thing, but that there's no division. We're not divided in any way. We're to come together and be one as the Father and Son are, and then to be perfectly joined together. We have much work to do in this area because we are individuals, and yet God wants us to be fitted together in a way that He and His Son show us. Verse 11, "for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." And I would say that every Christian throughout history has had this difficulty. It's natural. When we want our way, somebody else is going to oppose that way. And so back then, we saw the same thing as we can have today. And verse 12 says, "now this I say, that each of you says, I am of Paul." Or someone else is saying, "no, I'm of Apollos," or "I am of Cephas," or, "oh, I'm of Christ." But look at, I mean, you can just pick a simple statement like we should all be of Christ, but notice what people can start saying to cause division. And then verse 13 says, "is Christ divided?" We know that He isn't. I mean, everyone here knows that, and that any division we cause, we see, is not of God. It's of us. It's we all have that possibility to follow that mindset. So with God's Spirit leading us, He's asking us to work together, to get along, to have common goals. And we've been given those goals by God, things to strive for, things to fight for, to get ready for the kingdom of God, because it is coming. And we've been invited to be different than the world around us and to promote unity, harmony, growing and fitted together just like our human body is all woven together. God created it that way. He wants it all to work together just like a human body. And He's asking us to speak the same thing. So we have to be careful of the doctrines we study. Oh, I know there's different interpretations at times, but God is saying that we need to speak the same thing. These are the words of God. So we have to be careful to have that respect for the church and what is taught and to prove all things. We're always told to do that. That should go without saying. Verse 12, I read already. In verse 13, you come to the conclusion, is Christ divided? Brethren, we need to stop and think about that relationship between the Father and the Son. And that is our aim in life. That is our goal, to be together on everything. We must evaluate our life as to where we stand, because we're told to be just like Jesus Christ, not like man, and we're told to be joined together better than we are. So we have to consider the things we do, what we're accustomed to, and how we can improve that. So therefore, we know that division is not of God. Therefore, we need to be careful to avoid areas that are contrary to Scripture, things that divide the brethren. It's our aim to do that, our goal. Because some of the words I'll just refer to that Christ spoke in Matthew 12:25, He said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So we're encouraged to come together, to work together, to have a common purpose in getting ready to join the family of God. And God is asking us to prepare for that. And throughout the Gospel of John, you can read throughout various verses and chapters that where Jesus says, I'm one with the Father. The Father's one with me, and we're one together. And that's what He's asking us to do. In preparation to join that family, that's something that's required of us. Let's go next to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. And here Paul reminds us how special our calling is, that we need to stop and think about what we've been invited to, really what it means to us and how glorious it is, what God has revealed to us as a mystery to the world yet, but that we recognize that He wants us to join His family, be a part of His household. Ephesians 2, verse 19, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know, we could stop and ponder this verse for a good while because it says so much that God is literally saying, here's my house, and I want all of you, my children, in the order that I call you throughout the ages, I want you to come and be a part of my family, to come dwell in my house, to be with me and live by that righteous, holy way. Verse 20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So, brethren, when we think about that, that Jesus Christ is a pivotal part in us being a part of that household. Because, as he mentions here, that, you know, we know the prophets of old, God inspired them in the Old Testament, the apostles in the New, that together, these are the words of God that come together and show us the way forward, how to live, how to prepare. We're to be a part of that spiritual building. And we're invited not because of our greatness, but because of God's grace, His mercy, His kindness. Let's just turn over a page here to chapter 5. We'll come right back to chapter 2 here. But in chapter 5, verse 23, it says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. When we stop and think about who is leading this church, that authority has been given by the Father to the Son to be over us, and we're very grateful for that because we know that the one overseeing all this is perfect. He does it for the best of everyone. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 21. Continuing the thought that we're to be members of this household, in verse 21 it says, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So as a part of God's household, do we see where we fit in? We've been invited to join because we're being developed to fit better into the temple of God. Let me just read verses 21 and 22 again because they have so much meaning there. In whom the whole body, I should say the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Brethren, without God dwelling in us, we don't have any growth. We really don't fit in. We're really not moving in the right direction. We can't come up with our own teachings as Paul wrote in other books. Like, he doesn't want us to be divided and to be speaking this or that. We're being invited to come and let go of our old ways and to work together, to join together, to speak of with like one mind, you know, to have those thoughts that are in line with each other. And God is asking us to do that. Let's turn back to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 as we explore this a little more. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And we see how precious even this body of Christ, this church that God has raised up, how wonderful it is to be a part of that. We notice that as we read the scriptures that the church has beautiful functions that applies to each one of our lives that we need to think about. And we can fight that concept throughout our lives, you know, fight the oneness, fight the fellowship, fight expressing love or patience. But God is saying, no, as human beings, I'm asking you to turn and allow my Spirit to dwell in you, which then joins us to that church in a way that we could never do without that. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul writes, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So we have to recognize this house, this body of believers. God is saying, I have set this all up. It's inspired by me. It's precious. And I want you to recognize the significance of this. And so how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Brethren, since we're here, I think we could all say that we believe this is the true church of God. If not, why are we here? So we come with that idea, and then we study and grow and prove things, and we should be bonded even more so year after year and decade after decade. And Jesus Christ inspired that his church would teach the truth. As it says here, a pillar. We know a pillar, if it's used in construction, it's used to support, to lift up, to help, you know, the roof and all the structure. And here it also mentions about being grounded in the truth. We need to know what we stand on. Much of the world has all these different ideas about what they're here for and where they're headed in life, but if it's not based on truth, and God says his word is truth, that we're really not focused on what God is asking us to look at. So therefore, it behooves us to study, because we do tend to forget. You know, some of you have been familiar with the truth 30, 40, 50 years. And yet the things we studied that long ago, we tend to forget. We're humans. And God says, I want you to be reminded of it. Why else would he have his holy days year by year that are a reminder of the beautiful plan of God? And we're told that as well. Let's go to 2 Timothy here, 2 and verse 15. And to consider how important it is to really be thinking about what God has put here for us. And we're told to resist Satan, aren't we? We're asked to really be mindful of how he's a great deceiver and that he can trick us into leaving God's way. And one of the ways God encourages us to follow here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. So we're encouraged to do that, but how do we do that? He goes on to say, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So do we do that? Do we do that at the level and in the way that God would want us to? Daily Bible study, immersing ourselves in God's Word, putting His mind into ours so that we are better understanding where we're headed in life and what we're doing and why we would fight for that, even to the point of death. If we're not deeply ingrained in that, that won't happen. We won't be able to give up our life for this. So it's important for us to think about that. And here Paul reminds, as he talks about some of the brethren, started to spread gossip. And he said it was like a cancer, and it draws people away from God. And in verse 18, it says, "Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." My point is, Paul is talking to us, no different than in that day, and that if we don't study the Word of God, that we can start having a feeling of what we believe is truth and literally pull people away from God's truth because our minds are deceived in that. And if we're not close enough to God, if it's not God's Spirit leading us, then this is what happens. And you think, how could anyone get to the point where they go, the resurrection is already past? It doesn't even make sense. But, you know, some of the things today that we see and hear, that I've seen over my lifetime in various congregations around the nation, ideas that are so out of tune with the doctrines we hold as a church and that are based on the Bible, we have to be very careful of that. And so there were members in God's church that were stepping off the path, so to speak, and we're not careful. And we have to be mindful of that as well. Let's go next to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll pick it up in verse 12. You know, back at the time of Paul, he wrote to them because many members in the Corinthians church were not getting along at all. They were fighting one another. They weren't working together. There were all types of problems. There was sexual immorality that was brought up that Paul wrote about. There was division in the church. Some were taking the Passover improperly. So all sorts of things that were going on. But let's notice here how God wants us to view this church, this body of Christ, for us to look at it in a way that He sees it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So consider for a moment all the parts of your body that make up one body. You know, we have many members to our body. And would we be willing to get rid of? Oh, we had plenty of fingers. Would you be willing to get rid of a couple fingers? Or you got two eyes, maybe get rid of an eye? No, every part of the body is precious to us, isn't it? You just ask somebody that's lost a finger or lost a limb, lost a leg, lost an eye. Every part is very precious, and God wants us to see that even though there's members here, we make up something here that's to be one. And we need to stop and think about that. The spiritual body also has many members, and harmony is essential. And so we don't want to be fighting one another, attacking each other in any way. Unity is vital to be connected, and without it, we break apart. And we've seen division, and Paul spoke of division back in his time, that happens. So we have to be very careful to be mindful of that. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Brethren, it's God's essence. It's His presence. It's His Spirit that makes us one. That's what joins us together. Otherwise, we're not joined as closely as our human body, but He's saying it's His Spirit that brings us together. And He tells us there's only one body, only one spiritual body, and each of us has a part to play. We have to consider, do we do our part within that body? Have we thought about that? Have we prayed about it? Because our human body gives us a good parallel of how to view the body of Christ. If we understand our physical body well, it will help us to properly view what God is speaking about here. Now, when our body hurts, it affects the whole body, doesn't it? Like how many of you have, you know, been walking along barefoot and you catch your little toe on something and it feels like you just ripped it off and you're just like, oh, you're hopping on one foot and you're grabbing it, you might fall to the ground, and for a moment the world stops because you can't continue to focus on what you were doing. It's like the pain just takes away all that, and you know until that pain subsides that you really can't even think straight. And so that little toe, you know, affects my whole body when I injure it, or my finger. You know, I used to pound a lot of nails with a hammer, and when I hit my finger, you know, all of a sudden everything stops, and you go, wow, that. So what we see there, then, it's important that every part of the body is important to the overall body itself. I'll give you another example. Years ago, probably about 40 years ago, I was in a car accident, and I broke my jaw. And I remember it very clearly. It was a Sabbath evening, driving home from church, and I was a passenger in the car. And in there in Pasadena, California, we were crossing over the freeway. And coming off the freeway was an off-ramp. And so people would come flying on this off-ramp, and the light we were at is the first light they come to. Well, if they're coming off the freeway at 60, 70 miles an hour, and they start to slow down, but they think they can make the light, they're going really fast through that light if they try to run a yellow or red light. So anyway, they hit right on the side of the car where I was, and it broke my jaw over here, just a little, you know, a little crack in the jaw over here, but it also dislocated my jaw, so it was hanging off to the side. And just as I said with the stubbed toe, just my jaw, you know, you don't think about your jaw much when you're eating day by day and chewing thousands of times, but all of a sudden when it's broken, your whole life gets tuned into how precious that jaw is, or any other part. And so what I remember is I went to the hospital that night. It was a Saturday night. They said, well, we can't do anything other than give you painkillers. So the next day, Sunday, I was walking around like, you know, I had the painkillers, and I thought everything's pretty good. But Monday I went in for the operation. They pulled it all back into place, wired my jaw. And for the next week or two, I couldn't even think. I couldn't even get out of bed. My body was so affected with all the stress of pulling that back into place and everything that I couldn't even think. I mean, and so this point here is that every little part of our body is important physically, but also spiritually. God is saying each one of you are important in this body of believers, and he wants us to grasp how important we are and how we all play a part. Verse 14, it says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So as you all sit there, and we're all here, we're still a part of one body. And as we read earlier, Jesus Christ is the head of that body. And we need to be in tune with one another and with him. And I would like to just read a statement that Mr. Mark Welch wrote in a recent E! News. He said, let all of us expect the best in others concerning their sincerity and desire to please God and Jesus Christ. We are members of the body of Christ, and we ought to respect others as such, first and foremost. Let us be careful to think before we speak, before we write, before we post, and let us know that God does hold all of us accountable for how we represent him and how we treat others. So we can ask ourselves, how are we doing in this body? You know, if we truly are connected through Jesus Christ, are we doing the best we can? Verse 15 goes on to say, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And you could read the same thing, you know, it goes into the ear and so forth. But God is wanting us to understand that every part of his spiritual body is important, and that we all have a part to play. And at times we don't really stop to think about that, just like we might not think about the importance of our thumb on a daily basis, but man, without that thumb, we can't grab things in the same way. It's so vital, but just because we don't think about it doesn't mean it doesn't have importance. And so I'm saying that each one of us here is important to God. And he doesn't want to lose a member. He doesn't want that member to be deeply affected in a wrong way, but for all of us to work together to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. So therefore, all of our parts of the body are necessary. If they aren't, just think about if you lose some teeth. Or you didn't have an elbow. If you didn't have an elbow, it'd be pretty tough to even get food to your mouth, wouldn't it? And you just start naming body parts. What about no eyelid? You know, just the blinking and the protecting your eye and so forth. Let me give you an example. I read about a long-distance runner years ago, and he loved to run, extreme distance running, out in the deserts and up in the mountains, and he ran and ran. Well, one day he had an injury, and he injured his foot so bad the doctors thought maybe he wouldn't walk again. But over time, he started walking and then even began running again. And so he pressed his body so hard, though, with the running that it affected that old injury, that it couldn't keep, but he didn't want to stop. And so it had a negative effect on him. You know what he decided to do? Even though he could still walk and even run a little bit, but it didn't allow him to run 20, 30 miles like he wanted to each day, he decided to cut off his foot. And I thought, that is really sad, because it was an effective part of his body. You know, it had been injured, but it still worked fine. And the reason was, is so he could put on the prosthetic foot, and he thought he could run faster. And so I'm saying we can do things just in the spiritual body. We can say, oh, we don't need that part. And trying to make my point here is that every part is important, and we really need to consider that, especially with the body of Christ. From our calling to our resurrection, Christ is emphasizing as brethren that throughout that entire time period, we need to work together to really have each other's backs. Verse 17, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now notice verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So every one of us, we can't do all the functions within the church. That's why it takes all of us working together. Because some greet, some work on sound, others write cards, some do special music, and I could go on and on. But we all play a part. And each part, according to God, is important. Just as every part of my physical body and yours is important. So we need to consider that. Here, it's asking us to remember that God places us in the body just as he pleased. So if we're not happy within the body of Christ, think about, are you going against the head, Jesus Christ, of the church, that he placed you there? He has a purpose for each one of us, and he's asking us to fulfill that, to grow and develop. But we can sometimes fight, you know, like, oh, I didn't get to do this job, or I wanted to do that, or whatever it might be. We can even be opposed to some of the teachings that the head, Jesus Christ, is setting up for us, and like, no, I don't want to do that. I have my own, I read this, and I'm going to understand it this way. We have to be very careful to be under the authority of Christ. And I wanted to thank all of you that do various parts. Some are noticed, some are hidden, that we don't even see. But those who are writing cards for the brethren, those who are praying for one another, those who get here early to set up things. There's all sorts of things happening that sometimes we don't see all that. But it is an essential part of the body, of the church that God has invited us to. As we read back in Ephesians 2, we're all being fitted together. We still have more work to do, though, don't we? Because even though we're working towards that, we're not perfectly meshed together as God would want us. We need more of God dwelling in us in order to do that, more of his Holy Spirit leading us, which means we have to surrender to that Spirit. And so it's important for us to spend time together, whether it's services, activities, joining for the weekly Bible study. Every little bit plays a part and helps us to understand the relationship that Jesus Christ is directing us to have. And Paul here emphasizes how every member is vital for the church to function as a healthy body. See, the church can be a body, but it needs to be healthy and growing and vibrant, just as we want our physical bodies to be. Notice the reason for this. Going down to verse 25, it ties in with what we read back in the first chapter of Corinthians, where it says, there shouldn't be any division. We should speak the same thing and be perfectly joined together. Paul hits that again here in chapter 12, verse 25. He says there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Now, we may not use that word schism too much, but it just simply means division, separation. Once again, Paul's reminding us that this happens. We know that. But he's saying you need to be fighting against that. Don't let that happen. Don't give in to that. And consider how you're doing within this church. We really need to understand the importance of these words, because it's so easy for us to point fingers like, oh, look at what they did. Oh, look at what she did. And yet it should be, look at what I did. What is my part? Because I cannot change that individual. I can only change me. And it's so easy for us to focus on others, saying, well, I can't believe they would do that. And yet, I have things to work on. You have things to work on. And that's what God is asking us to do. Our goal should be to improve doing our part in the body of Christ, in the church of God. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We find that true, don't we? You know, when somebody loses a loved one, You know, it hits them very deeply, but we're hit the same way. That's our brother in Christ. That's our sister, whoever, you know. So when they go through a health issue, we feel for them. We pray for them. We offer to help. We offer financial assistance. As a body, we work together. Now, on the other hand, it talks about if a member is honored. So if someone gets a promotion at work, if someone gets married, graduates from school or college, or even gets baptized, we all rejoice with that person because we're that close. What ties us together? The Spirit of God. That's what makes us the body of Christ. Otherwise, we're just a group, you know, in the world, a family in the world. But God is asking us to come to a higher level there so that we're growing in that way. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Brethren, think about how blessed we are to be a part of the church of God, to be a part of his household. No, we're not perfect, but he's inviting us to do better in that day by day. And that need to remember that we're partakers of God's divine nature. But that's only possible through his Holy Spirit working in us and our allowing that to happen. It's like a sports team. You know, the more that team works together, the more they accomplish, the more unity they have. So we need to do the same thing as a church. God is inviting us to do that. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 1. Brethren, I know we're told to examine our lives. We need to do that. Probably we don't do that often enough. But are we willing to sacrifice? Because that's God's requirement for his children. To be willing to sacrifice, just as Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us. And we're reminded of that in here, Romans 12, verse 1. Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We're expected to do that, to be willing to give up something, to be a more effective part of the body, of the church. That's what God is inviting all of us to do, to give up especially our sins, but even other things. Maybe something isn't wrong or evil, but I or you could give it up so that we can be more unified as a body. If it offends someone else, we should be willing to consider to give that up. And that's not always easy to do. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, brethren, we all have room to grow. I think that's what we need to consider. And that God is asking us to really think about these things. And there's times even when we don't even know all the names of the members in our body. You know, if the bigger the congregation is, the harder that is. But I've seen members come up in Orlando when we had over 100 members there, and somebody come up and say, well, what about that person? I go, what's their name? They go, I don't know. And I said, well, how long have you been attending here? And they go, 12 years. And that person's been attending 15 or 20, and they don't even know their name. I'm saying that's just a simple thing. But my point is that it's not always easy to get over to the other side of the room to talk to someone or to go talk to that person that's sitting by themselves because, oh, this group here is fun to talk with. But if there's that widow over there or even those little kids that we don't ever say hi to, they are a part of the body. And we have to think about that. That we're all to be family in this, and God is inviting us to think about that. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we need to consider that we all have a part to play, but it does take organization to work together. Once again, as that temple fitted together, each member doing their part. That's what God is asking us to do. And we also have to realize as we get older, we can't all perform the same function. I know some people in their elderly years that they would love to do more, but they aren't able to. And we understand that. You know, I don't think I'll be doing as much in 20 years from now as I am now. So we have to consider that there are roles that people have done and they kind of have to take a back seat, and more of their role is praying for the brethren and supporting the brethren, encouraging, but they're not the ones in here cleaning the floor or setting up and bending down and doing all the things that aren't easy. So we have to adjust and work together in that. Verse 5, Or let me say verse 4 first. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So I think we'd agree with that, wouldn't we? That we have a part to play. God has placed us here. We have to figure out how that is that we can work with everyone. And verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So how do we fulfill this? Well, as we read earlier, it's through God's Holy Spirit, the divine nature of God working in us that enables us to do things that we normally wouldn't do. We wouldn't want to do them, and we couldn't do them in some cases. But God, through His Spirit, enables us to grow in that way. So we have to ask ourselves, will we be growing this coming year? Here we are at the beginning of man's new year, and we have to think about, how will I do this year? At the end of the year, will I be the same with no growth, no development? Even though God's willing to prune us and help us to grow. Turn with me next to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. He writes, as His divine power, so we're speaking of God, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So it's this power. You know, referring back to God's Spirit, what He's composed of, what He's willing to put in us, which literally makes us His children. Verse 4, by which have been given to us, so it's through this power and this divine nature, He's given us these exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we know that God has power to give us everything He wants to, things beyond our imagination. But it's our choice of whether we accept it, of whether we're willing to let God work in us. And that's what He's inviting us to do. Because the very essence of God is offered, and we're told in the book of John, that those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. So He's asking us to really allow that Spirit to work in us and to read the words of God, because these words are spirit, spiritual essence here, and we can learn through all those. And our relationship with each other is similar to that of a marriage. Just like two people coming together, wanting to join their lives, making a commitment before God of joining and to be one. Well, that's what God is asking us to do as many members here, joining together through the Spirit of God. Another commitment, another covenant we make with God that we are His children. That's what baptism is all about, that precious covenant of being joined to the body and to Christ, hopefully for the rest of eternity. Let's notice that marriage. We're going to Revelation 19. And we all are familiar with this, but it's nice to read it and really think about that just as we're married to someone in the physical life, God is asking us to do that on a spiritual level with His Son. Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. You know, the part we need to think about in there, are we getting ready? Because it is coming, that marriage will take place. Whether we're a part of it determines whether we're ready. We really need to think about that. Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So there's the key. How we're living our lives. Are we overcoming? Are we putting away sin? Are we joining together, encouraging one another, loving one another, so that God is saying, yes, I want you to be a part of My bride, that body of Christ that He will marry. So it's important for us to think about that. So God is not only sharing His purpose for us, but He's worked out all the details to make it possible. He does so much for us. He tells us what He wants. He helps us to do it. He forgives how we mess up. And it's like He's just giving us chance after chance. And we have to make a little effort here and put forth, you know, a willingness to change our lives to be in line with that. Because God's goal is to share His divine nature with all of mankind, not just us here. We're just the first fruits. This is just the first stage of what He's doing. And at times we forget that. And at times in our life, we can literally ignore this marriage or the the opportunity to be joined with the family of God. Let's look at what James writes about this. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1 verse 17. And we recognize that God's character does not change. His promises will always be fulfilled. James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So it ties right in with what Christ says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They have that perfect character, and it will always go forward. Verse 18, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Brethren, think about how precious that is. God tells us in Scripture that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of the truth. We have that opportunity now. And we know that we belong to God, that we've been bought with for at a very great price, the very life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But so we belong to God. We don't own ourselves. We're servants and slaves of God once we've come under his authority. So we need to listen to God. We need to follow his example day by day, year by year. So what makes us a part of the body of Christ? It's really his spiritual DNA dwelling in us, helping us to change, and he's grooming us in preparation to join that family. He's molding us, shaping us day by day, getting us ready for the most perfect relationship that any of us have ever seen, that of being with the Father and Jesus Christ, who have never sinned, and being their children forever. So part of that molding and shaping has to do with him correcting us, him maturing us. Of course, we have a part to play in that. We have to allow that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because we noticed here that we're to be a part of these first fruits, and that's a beautiful process. But let's notice a little more now about the Spirit and the part that that plays, not only in the church, but in us. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. We have to make sure that our choices invite God to dwell in us. Because in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" We definitely need to know this. If we don't, we're going to act the wrong way all the time. And he goes on to say, "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So individually, we are a place where God says, "I'm pleased to dwell in." This body that he says, I'm willing to come and dwell right in you and lead you and direct you. And if you're willing to surrender to that, then you can be a part of my family one day if you continue to grow in that way. So we need to think about that. What is our end goal? You know, just to have God's Spirit for a while, just to sit here for 50 years but not be led by that Spirit, we're not really going to profit what we should. It says in Matthew 16:26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" So just because you're sitting here doesn't mean you're going to make it in the kingdom. This is something that's important, to come and assemble and be in the presence of God and worship him and sing and encourage one another. But there's more to it. When we go home, there's still this huge part to play in getting ready. It's how we live our lives day by day. It's how we treat our neighbor, how we teach our children, how we love and encourage our mate. It's all these things together that through the power of God dwelling in us that enables us to do that. Let's go next to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We'll just read several scriptures here because this reminds us as Christians how important it is what we do in our daily lives, and that we have a part to play. And we don't always think about it this way. I know at times I haven't throughout my life, but these words are here to remind us of things we've forgotten. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, "And he," or God himself, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And here's why: for the equipping of the saints. So we all need to be equipped. We all need to grow and get ready for this kingdom that is coming. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry," or the work of serving, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God says, I want this body, this church to grow, because he said, I'm going to be married to you one day. I don't want to marry this wife that's not loyal to me, not reliable. So it's all about us growing and being edified. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, or to a perfect person, both men and women, children. God is asking us to look to that, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's our goal that we work towards, and God is inviting us to do that. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So that goes back to speaking the same thing, having no division. Paul is reminding us that we need to get past that. We need to work together. We need to believe in the doctrines of God and to talk about those things and work together. But here it says, some carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. So there are those who can be amongst us who may not really be of us. You know, there's those tares among the wheat. And we even ourselves can be that if we let down and get in a wrong attitude, that we can fight the body. And so we have to be careful, because it says, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, I think most of us would say, no, I've never done that. But if we're ever attacking the church or attacking one another, we are kind of going against the head, Jesus Christ, and what he's working at here. He wants us to be edified and working together. And the point that it makes no longer children, brethren, we have to go beyond just drinking the milk of the word. God is asking us to devour the meat of the word and to be sincere Christians that live by this every day. Verse 15, here's what we do instead. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Once again, the head of this spiritual body, you know, Jesus Christ being the one that runs it, organizes it, and oversees it. We have to be under that, and we have to be speaking the truth in order to be a part of that. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now that ties in with what we read in other scriptures about every member. We're members individually, but we're to be one, and we're to do our part within that. And that every part of the body is important, just as in our physical body. So the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Now that's where we need to stop and take note. Do we, as a part of the body, do our share? Prayers, giving, serving, calling, writing, encouraging, studying, praying, fasting, and growing in every way. We could go on and on with that list, but are you, am I doing my share? Because here's the reason for that. Every part does its share, which causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When we don't do our share, the body doesn't grow in the way God asks us to. And we have to stop and reflect on that. I have a part to play. Once again, I can't say, you're not doing your share, and you're not. I have to say, am I doing my share? With God's help, God's Spirit, and God's forgiveness, to say, I don't want to continue anything that divides the body, anything that separates us, but to be one as God is one. And that's what he's inviting us to do. It's important for us to think about that. And when we don't do our share, then there's no growth. But when we do our share, we're actually showing respect to the head of the body, Jesus Christ, and to one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's look at one final scripture, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 11. You think about how much Paul writes about this. We've read it in Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, here Romans. It's just all throughout this importance of togetherness that we're invited to be a part of. So we have to consider, how are we led by the Spirit of God? And one way that we've already talked about is to study the words of God. His words are truth. And with that, we have access to God's Spirit. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him, the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. We better make sure that God's Spirit is in us. If it isn't, we aren't his. We're not his children. Oh, we might sit here. We might have been baptized. We might be doing all these things. But if God's Spirit isn't in us and we aren't bearing the fruits of that Spirit, we really aren't achieving what God is inviting us to do. Because in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Well, we can have access to it, but if it's not renewed and we're not using it, we're not bearing fruit, we're really not growing as children of God. And that's what he's asking us to do. Continuing in verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption," and that would be better translated sonship. God wants to consider us as coming from him, you know, out of his own loins, so to speak, that he wants us to be literally sons and daughters, not just adopted into his family. "And so we've received the spirit of sonship by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." See, he's literally our heavenly Father on a spiritual level, and he's inviting us to that realm, into that family, and we don't deserve that. But notice it says more, the spirit of itself, so this is talking about God's spirit, "bears witness with our spirit." This is the spirit in man, what God gives to all man, the ability to think and design and create. He's saying, when I join my spirit with your intellect, what I've given man, then you can do something here. "So it bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." What a privilege, what an honor that is. And yet we must do our share, as we just read. Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." That's our goal, isn't it? To be in the kingdom of God. That's our purpose for life, to have this. But notice how the Spirit dwelling in us is the key in order for us to be considered children, in order for us to learn and know and do what our share is within the body, in order to have that oneness under Jesus Christ. It all ties together, and it's a beautiful plan that God has. Brethren, it's an honor to know the significance of what God has planned out. And we have an important role to play, each and every one of us. Members individually, but we have a role to play in this body of believers that God is working with at this time. We're in training to be married to the Lamb of God. He's not only our Savior, but he's our future husband. Can you imagine being married to someone that is perfect, someone that laid their life down for you? This is what we're asked to look forward to and to prepare for. To have that oneness and unity. Think about the relationship we've been called into and whether we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling, as we're told to do. Because we can hear these words, but if we don't act on them, it really doesn't count. God wants doers, not hearers. He wants us to promote growth among the membership because we all belong to Christ. So if I treat you bad, I'm hurting myself. It'd be like me pounding one of my fingers. I'm hurting myself because we're all connected. So we can't treat one another poorly. We have to encourage. We have to say, I'm sorry. We have to work together. We have to uplift. We have to do those things that God would want us to do. So with all these thoughts, we have to realize that now is the time to grow. Now is the time to prepare for the kingdom of God. We don't know when it is. It's getting closer. We know that. But we don't have to know when it is. That's reserved for the Father alone to one day reveal that. But until then, he's saying, here's what you need to know, my children, my future family. You need to get ready. You need to make each day count. You need to be closer to me and closer to one another. So every opportunity we have to connect to each other and to God, we need to take that. And we don't know what this year will bring, but we do know that the marriage will come and the bride will be ready. What we don't know is we have to make sure that we're a part of that bride, a part of that group, a part of the body of Christ. And if we want that future, then we must evaluate our respect for the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Like, do we really believe everything he said, everything he taught? Because if we don't, then we separate ourselves from that. And we must improve in doing our share as members. Because, brethren, we're not only members of a church, but we're future children of God. That's the blessing. That's the beauty of what God is sharing with us throughout the whole Bible. Every book tied together is really, I'm getting you all ready to come into my family and to serve under me and with me and to help teach others and to be a happy family, a spiritual family forevermore. So with that in mind, let's make sure that we're drawing closer to God and to one another and allowing God's Spirit to be renewed in us so that we can one day be those sons and daughters that God desires.